Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we know that all things are possible concerning what you have said. And we know that if you haven't said it, then it is impossible, unless it is related in some way to what you've already said, then you would have said it. And it's possible, even as when the angel came to Mary and said, by the very presence of God, these things are possible. And this morning, Lord, we're thinking of a church that's wretched and miserable, naked and blind. And you said, come to me and buy of me gold tried in the fire, and the anointing for your eyes that you can see, the clothing which is from you. And so, Lord, we know that in spite of what obtains in this world, this is possible. And it's not only possible, but we're going to have it. Somebody's going to have it, and we're laying hold this morning to this claim. We're asking you, Lord, according to your own word that Paul said, when the time of trouble comes and you appear in heaven with your hosts of angels, those angels, there would be a peace and a rest granted to us, a cessation, which is a real rest, which is a real Holy Ghost, which is, we believe, Lord, Ephesians 1:17. With this in mind, then, Lord, we're claiming this morning a real rest in our hearts and a real rest in our minds, a relaxation under the seventh seal that the prophet said. This is ours, and this is possible because you are here. And Lord, we're going to put ourselves in the place of Mary, who said, be it unto me according to your word. She was happy and anxious to have it, and so were we. So, Father, we would, by your own word, loose ourselves into your hands, that you do this for us, even as it is said in the word. Now, how can we go further, Lord? I don't know any way we could, any more than Mary. She didn't have to wait. That was the answer. We're taking our answer this morning somehow too, Lord, that this which you have provided in your word becomes living in our flesh, even as the prophet's own little message last night said. We only got a couple pages of it. It's the word of God turned into flesh. We claim the word of God to turn flesh in our minds, in our spirits, our souls, our very beings, Lord, and get out of here in immortal bodies. What else can we say, Lord? What else can we give back to you? Because the prophet said, the wife serves the husband what he provides. So here we are, Lord, for your blessing this morning, your help. And that help is found in your word, even to the extent of this message is our healing. From the top of the head, starting with the mind, to the very soles of the feet. We commend ourselves to you, therefore, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we're dealing with the shame number two, and it was seen immediately last night in this message of Brother Branham, and speaking of people being ashamed of our Lord Jesus Christ, was pointing out to us, that's the bride, that their embarrassment was not over the person of Jesus Christ so much, but over the word. He made it evident that people stumble over Christ the word far more than over Christ the person. Now, let's just take a look at that by going to 1 Peter. Now, I'm not trying to supersede Brother Branham or make myself bigger than Brother Branham by going to Scripture that he doesn't go to. He told us to break it down and feed it to the people so you know just exactly what's being said and why it's being said. So in 1 Peter, the second chapter, starting in verse 6, wherefore, It is also contained in the Scripture. Now listen to what the Bible says about itself. Behold, I lay in Zion the chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, now watch the change of language. The stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. For unto they were also appointed. There are people like the Pharisees of John 8 who cannot take the word because there is no seed word in them. Therefore they have no place for the word. For if they had a place for the seed word, the word would be in them, because you can't break continuity with God. As Brother Branham said, before God ever made a fish with a fin, he made waters for the finny fish to swim in. You understand what I'm saying? Is that clear? All right. Let's go back what we read last night in John 10. Beginning at verse 30. I and my Father are one, period, no question mark. This is it. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. When Jesus saw them pick up stones and knew what they were going to do, he said, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews said, for a good work we stone thee not. Raise all the dead. Feed us all fishes. Raise up an army. Throw out the Romans. Hallelujah. Do it our way. But shut your cotton-picking mouth. We'll be the spokesman. You do the deeds, any deed. Hey, we like that. We'll identify with you there. Boy, I'll tell you something. You stumble us. You get in our way. Now, we don't let anybody get in our way when they say things opposite to us. We kill them. You hear what I'm saying? I'm preaching Brother Brown's message in my own way. And don't worry, when he preached indictment in some of these other sermons, he was rougher and tougher than I am. I like that. Rough and tough fellows. Brother Branham talked about that fellow when he came down from the north. He went into this cafeteria, this cafe, and here was this fellow, this roughy, toughy guy sitting there. And Brother Branham said when he acted like a man, he just sneezed a big sneeze. Not according to Billy Paul. He belched a big belch. Maybe some of you prefer to suppress the belch and bear the pain. Now let it go and bear the shame. I'm not trying to make Brother Branham an uncouth person. I'm trying to show you something. Wasn't that the same one that Brother Branham said the dump was out there burning? And there was a derelict there, Brother Branham. God said, take your pick. And this fellow looked just like Brother Branham in a very uncouth condition. So all you nice folks, don't start burping, please. And being sort of crass and ignorant. I'm just drawing a picture the only way I know how to do it. To make it extreme and hard-hitting. So you don't get carried away with niceties. As though nicety is the thing that counts. Because nice people are murderers. Let me assure you that Cain was a nicer person than Abel. He couldn't get his little hands soiled. Because when you take a sheep and cut its jugular vein with a jagged rock, it defecates on you. Cain couldn't stand defecation. If you know what defecation is, means soil, manure, feces. The what which had gone in your mouth comes out at another place. Forced urination can go anywhere. Any mother will tell you that baby boys, when they take off the diaper, there isn't a mother who hasn't had her face or clothes urinated on by a baby. You say, Brother Vader, getting crass. Never said I wasn't. But you can sure get the point when I'm finished. Many good works have I showed you. What are you going to stone me for? We don't stone you for good works, but for blasphemy. He wasn't blaspheming. If William Branham were living and the church decided to try him, they would try him like Paul, a heretic who blasphemed. And the blasphemy would be what? A man standing up under divine order, under thus saith the Lord, under vindication, coming against a mealy-mouthed, big-mouthed individual who was elected. That's why I shot off at the Pope last night. What's he doing wearing women's clothes? He said, we are Judeo-Christians. We take our Christian heritage from Israel. Then why doesn't he dress like a high priest instead of somebody out of Babylon? He's a liar. You know it and I know it. And the modern clergy with their stupid gowns and their collars on backwards are just the same. Why don't they put the little cap on that the Jews wear? I don't even know any scripture for that one. Fap, they can't even dress like. You being a man, make yourself God. The one man in this message who cannot stand me more than any other man has always denied Brother Branham saying that the prophet is God to the people. And he keeps warning the people by reading from Moses, where God said to Moses, you shall be as God to Aaron, and he shall be your prophet. I doubt today the person can say with us, William Branham was God to the people. What does it do to his little eensy-weensy finicky system? He asked Brother Branham the question about how that Jesus and the Father were one. He said Jesus and the Father was a self-same person, just the same as the Holy Spirit in me. Now, you and I can't say that. But people say, well, I got the Holy Ghost, bless God, I don't know. When you start talking like that, you just make me feel sick, and I know that you don't know that you're a big mouth. I could tell you something cute my sister said, but I'm not going to say it. Jesus and the Father were the self-same person, just the same as the Holy Spirit in me. You're looking at me preaching, but it's not me. It's not me can speak a word that could bring, you know, an animal. Sat there and looked at it and killed and ate it. That's creative power. That doesn't lie in human beings. It's not me could take a little boy here and the doctors laying him on his back with heart trouble tonight and say, thus saith William Branham. No! Thus saith the Lord, it's finished. Bring him down to the doctor the next day and it's all gone. The kid has leukemia, the eyes bulged out, yellow all over his stomach, you know, puffed up. Until they took him to the hospital, gave him blood and things, couldn't even get it there. 5 minutes time, cry for a hamburger. Shit. No doubt one of those McDonald things fried on stale grease 10 days old. Yay, 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 yay. They don't taste too bad, though. If you're hungry. Wash it down with coffee. Take it back next day. The doctor can't even find a trace of it. That's thus saith William Branham. That's thus saith the Lord. Yet he is an individual different from me. But the only way he's expressed is through me. Let me read it. Yet he is an individual different from me. But the only way he's expressed is through me. Okay, you weak little people this morning, you say you believe Brother Branham fulfilled that. That's the word of God. What if the pressure comes down? What are you going to say? I don't know what I'll say, but I trust by the grace of God, I'll spit right in your eye if I have to. But they're going to kill you anyway if they're going to kill you. It doesn't really take too long to die. It just seems long. William Branham equated rhema to logos and showed us that one does not have a relationship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, except by the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, combined with the Lord Jesus Christ. And to reject the word is to reject Jesus Christ. John 3:16, I quote this time after time after time. Hey, you know what? When I preach from my own messages derived, I trust, from Brother Branham, I get a lot of feedback of people enjoying it. But you know something? I never get out of my sermons, even based on this, what I get preaching this, word by word. Now I want to ask you a question. How many agree with me? You don't? Put your hands up if you agree with me. Brother Branham's message is the best, right? Oh my God, there's no comparison. I could never get so blessed of what comes to me as what comes to the prophet. Then you see the scripture comes. It said, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, and so on, that whosoever believes should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. That's right. But that the world through him might be saved. But what happened? He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. Here's where it all starts. Here's where the turning of the side of peace from condemnation through Jesus Christ. So there's no peace but condemnation in Jesus Christ. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. So there's something about people, in spite of the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, propitiation and resurrection and the sprinkling of blood, that they still don't get it. What is light? How come they can't get light? That is because they cannot get light. Now, what does it say about light? In the beginning was the Word is with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And Brother Paul teaches what John left out. And he said over here in Romans, I can't quote it because I'm not like certain men that can quote the Bible from A to Z. I don't even try. And it says right here in Romans 1 and 20, 19 beginning. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. In other words, it's deeply within them by what God showed. And whatsoever maketh manifest is light. Now listen, use Bible phrases and principles. That's right. To teach the Bible or shut up and forget it. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain or foolish in their reasonings. And from their reasonings, the foolish heart was darkened, so no light could come in. So God presented light. Light is manifestation. They turned it down. They would not bring their deeds to the light. Do you know that Cain would not bring his deeds to the light? You know what the light was? The sacrifice of the lamb. And the man who had the light was Abel. And Abel stood there according to Revelation, and God had made manifest to him, so he made manifest to Cain, and Cain killed him. Now don't tell me you can change Scripture in the way Scripture is written and the history of man. They rejected the Word. Because the Word was the delineation upon what happened. William Branham came on the scene with the gift of miracles. He stood right there and I saw him. He was going to cast out a devil. The boy was deaf. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I adjure you, come out of him. He said he didn't. Everybody says, snap, snap, snap. Can you hear? Not William Branham. He knew the devil hadn't moved. He said he hasn't moved. He said, Satan, I command you to come out of him. He said he hasn't moved. Then I saw him with his full stature. He said, I'll come out this time. In the name of Jesus Christ, Satan, come out of him. The boy's like that. Didn't have to snap his fingers. William Branham's ministry had to be explained by William Branham. Then a message was brought. You hear what I'm saying? You might not think you're fortunate. I can't read your minds and hearts, and I care two bits what you think of me. That's your business. But I'm going to tell you something. There's roughly 6 billion people in this world. And many ears have wanted to hear what you're hearing this morning, and you're never going to hear it. That's right. They turn down the light, and light is anything which makes manifest. A little child bumps against a hot stove. That's light to that child right there. That thing burns. So they turned down light. What light did they turn down? The light that Jesus brought by vindication. I am the Son of God, and God is my Father in a way which He is nobody else's Father. I am that one spoken of in the Word of God. They refused it, even though proven. In other words, there was a light to the light to the light. It was all light. Let me tell you, my brother, my sister, unless you and I are all light, we're going to miss it. Jesus is God, is all light, and in him is no darkness, neither variableness nor shadow of turning, and we are a part of God, so therefore we must be the same. There is no white blackbird, no drunk sober man, said the prophet. That is true. Let me go a little further. I want to go to Hebrews here, the 10th chapter, to show you something. Verse 26, for if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. So therefore, if you don't know the truth, if you are in ignorance, if you are in doubt, if there is something in your favor in this respect that you just didn't know, you weren't in a place of comprehension, then there is a hope for you. You can sacrifice. But when the truth comes, and it better be vindicated. You understand what I'm saying? Because Brother Branham speaks of that. You better know what you're saying and where you stand. When that comes, there is no more sacrifice. In other words, there's nothing left for you to cover. There's no covering for your sin. There's no more blood. That's what Brother Branham said. The blood is off the mercy seat. It's not as though the blood were taken off the mercy seat and put someplace else, because Brother Branham said the blood fell upon the ground and it went back to the elements. So what you trying to tell you? What God did to cover your sins doesn't work because you don't want your sins covered. So my Brother Bale, I do, then turn down vindicated word. Come on, somebody's lying. You see why I preach so hard? Because it's truth or error. There's only two spirits. One is truth and one's error. And the worst error of all is 99% close. Let me go to Hebrews 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the Logos of Christ, let us go on to perfection. In other words, you couldn't leave the Logos, it's called doctrine here, but you couldn't leave the Logos of Christ. In other words, what God is doing absolutely, wherein he's bringing forth light and manifestation, which is light, which comes from life, indicating that there is a life that's in the Word because it manifests and proves itself, there will come a time when there isn't anything further because God has exhausted himself in this particular area. Let's go on to perfection. Verse 3, this will do if God permit. For it is entirely impossible for those who are once for all enlightened. No more Logos coming true. No more manifestation. Have tasted the heavenly gift, were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Upon all flesh it's fallen. Have tasted the good word of God, even the powers of the world to come. Having fallen away, they can never again be renewed to repentance. And they crucified themselves afresh the Son of God. In other words, they are looking for another sacrifice. Having turned down the truth, there isn't any. Remains no more sacrifice. Instead, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man put me upon the cross, no, if any man hear my voice, it's all gone to voice. Once the Logos, the manifestation's finished, there isn't any more. It's gone to voice. You see, why do you think the Lord descended with a shout? The voice of the archangel, the trump of God. Matthew 12 proved who was doing it. The evidence is all in. But people would not listen. As in every sermon, so in this one, Brother Branham pointed to the vindicated prophets as the source of all human authority. And of course, he was one of them, as we well know. In other words, you and I do not have access to God as though we are authorities. Now stop a minute. Like as I said, hey, just forget time. Forget I'm not even going to get to one page finished. That's no problem. Do you know what age we're living in? You say, sure. We're living in the seventh church age. It's just about expired, which in the Bible is known as the Laodicean church age. What does Laodicea mean? People's rights. Unions. The people, we the people. We're running things. We have our rights. What about that age? The severity of Nicolaitanism, where the preachers have organized to control the people. Now, we have a subtle situation. The people think that by electing members, they are getting their way. Hogwash. That's a lie. As soon as you put a man in, you better watch. You ain't going to get your way. He lied. He's going to have his way. So we've got a seesaw. And you know who's winning? The Nicolaitans. And the Laodiceans are too stupid to see blind leaders of the blind all falling into a ditch. This is our age. Our age is one of ministers, and I've preached many sermons against it. And still a man that I thought was certainly one who would not fall for that corruption is preaching in his church and spreading this spiritual husbandry of the pastor. If I took that attitude, I would have to tell you, you listen to me and you'll make it. I'm going to tell you one thing. You listen to me and you're going to hell with bells on. I'm going to help you. And I hope I'm there to shovel the coal to make it hotter. Because I am not your spiritual husband, and I am not ordained to take you through. I am commanded of God to give you the word which will take you through as you're looking to Jesus Christ. And if I'm offered that word and you with me, we haven't got a hope. So you better be careful. And if you got no faith in me, get your own church. I don't want you. I'm not speaking out of two sides of my mouth because I got two sides. I'm telling you this. I believe I am preaching exactly what the prophet said. I'm standing on it. I've turned my corner. But I'm not telling you to listen, have faith in me. That's up to you entirely. I'm telling you to come here. I've got more and more queasy about people coming in here. And you might think I've got a terrible spirit. I see them come once and they go. And I'm a cult to them. Wonderful. No problem. I've stated my case and they've stated theirs. I'm not going to change. Now, we just left off on page 19 where he was showing us too many so-called Christians deny various scripture, such as those referring to healing and Holy Spirit baptism. They fail to see that the word must be made alive in human flesh and live itself out in the church as well as the individual in every generation. In other words, there is something that God gives to every single individual as a bride member of the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're not bride. And they won't talk about it. They're embarrassed. They haven't got it. Then there's a message to the church that the church must come into. And they turn that down too. They're embarrassed. They can't follow it. While it is now so easy and comforting to identify as a Christian through the blanket covering of denomination, saying, I'm Baptist, I'm Lutheran, I'm Presbyterian, I'm this. It is difficult to simply say, I have no denomination, I have no organization, I am identified with none of it. But I do identify with Christ, but not that way. I identify by the Word, and especially by a vindicated Word, as is necessitated by Revelation 22 and 18, that says, don't you dare add a word, and don't you dare take away a word, or you missed it. How do I know I'm not doing it unless God sends somebody on the scene and the Pope says, I'm the one? You see, our church has never changed. He's a liar. The Catholics have been fooled for years that they had to eat fish on Friday as though God told them to. Finally, it comes out after 100 years or whatever, there was a scarcity of beef and chicken. So the Catholics said, we'll eat fish at least one day a week and take care of the beef. Right. How many of you Catholics this morning really knew that? Hey, Joe, did you know that's the truth? I didn't either, but the Catholic bishop finally came up with it. So much for the Catholics. And the Protestants, like the Catholics, repeat the Apostles' Creed, and there ain't no such animal. And God shall laugh them in derision. You know why? Vindication. I didn't know the day would come when I'd be criticized for pointing to vindication. I just asked that person one question. What is he pointing to? You know who? To himself. Watch me. I got news. Don't watch me. Either through the keyhole or through the door. Asleep or awake. Or you got trouble, honey. All right. Page 19. 135. Now when the calling out time comes, what's the calling out time? Revelation 18, 4. At what time is that? When everybody who identifies with Jesus Christ as a Christian, listen, after these things I saw another mighty messenger come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul and clean spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. O Los Angeles, you that call yourself by the name of the angels, the Babylon of America. Because America is chapter 13. America saved Europe for Rome. The blood of our boys is crying out upon that soil against the Catholic Church because their blood is as the blood of martyrs. How come they didn't bomb the Vatican, but they bombed Westminster Cathedral? What man had power over the world who sat there saying, I'm the vicar of Jesus Christ, look to me. And why didn't that jackass put forth his hand and stop the war? But he'll do it one of these days because he controls nations within nations. And the presidents and kings understand it and they run to him. And except that Luther had a few kings on his side in Germany, the Pope's army would have gone into Germany. Long live Germany! Yes. And destroyed every vestige of Christianity. I've got no fuss about Germany. They're still scared to death of her. But out of her came the one man that defied Rome. And the princes of Germany said, "Listen, Pope, old boy, you stick your nose in here and you get it cut off." What am I telling you, the truth or not? You be the judge, read your history, don't ask me. The city set upon seven hills, 666 the Pope. The church has fallen, the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. When Bush met and meets with the Pope, America will die for it. Gorbachev has met with the Pope, Russia will die for it. And when the rest meet with the Pope, they will die for it. And this generation will pay for the blood of all the martyrs. This generation doesn't mind doing it. Look at France. We liberated France. They can't hate us enough. Our men died for them. Oh, yeah. Catholics. What spirit was loosed at the river? 200,000 horsemen that came against the Jews and killed them? The spirit of Rome. Loosed among the communists and the Nazis. Tell me, what did communism come out of? The dictatorial power of Rome. Read your Bibles. Don't sit there and play politics in your own imagination coming out of stupid Christians. Read your Bibles. There's a fourth empire and a fourth empire only, and it was dying because it couldn't keep up the sword. It was wounded. And it turned into the Holy Roman Empire. Now the Pope rules everywhere. The Roman Catholic Church. It's still nations, brother, sister. Don't sit here stupid this morning. I'm telling you something. All nations. What is the Bible true? Are you true this morning? I'm not going to make you Catholic hater, any kind of hater. I'm trying to smarten you up. We'll talk about this other thing in a minute. I won't get to where Brother Branham says things. Just give me time. Give me time. That's all right. Nations, all nations. I-E-double-L. The wine of the wrath of her fornication. She went into idolatry, and from that time on she controlled the world for the devil, and now the devil controls her. And so now people worship through the church and are worshiping the devil. I want to ask you a question. Did Cain worship God or did he worship the devil? He thought he was worshiping God, but he's literally worshiping the devil. Why? Because his allegiance was to the word of the devil. Now, I'm explaining this book of shame to Brother Branham preached. Do you understand what I'm saying? You cannot separate Logos from Rhema and Rhema from Logos. And if the Rhema ever gets the life in it, in the human flesh, that person becomes a Logos of God. In other words, a true manifestation of God as Son of God. I am a manifestation of the human race, much as you might not think so. And you're a manifestation, much as I might not think so, looking at you. Amen. So the pot can't call the kettle dirty. It doesn't need to go on tape. My little whimsy. Let's keep on going. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people. You're stuck right in that ungodly, rotten, filthy mess. That you be not partaker of his sins, that you... and that ye receive not of her praise, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." It wasn't that God ever forgot. God says now is the time to finish it. You understand what I'm saying? All right, now when the calling out time comes, that you don't belong to any of them, that's the calling out time. You belong to nothing. It's very popular for those other people who don't come out and say, I'm Pentecostal. I'm Presbyterian. I'm Lutheran. But when it comes to the time that you'll have to come out and stand for the word. What word? Huh? A word from heaven. Babylon is fallen. It's rotten. It's filthy. Get out of her. The first step in church order is a message. Get the people out. How am I going to get them out? What's in your hand, Moses? There's a rod in my hand. Throw it down. Whoa! Turned into a snake. Pick it up by the tail. What'd you say? Pick it up by the tail. Whew. Well, if you say so. Turned into a rod. Boy, that did a lot for that fella. Man, he said, burning bush, voices, rod into a snake. Turns back into his rod. Put your hand in your bosom. God, I'm dying of leprosy. Put it back in. Whoo, man. Moses, go on down and take him over. So Brother Branham describes Moses as a one-man army with a wife riding a mule and one each and a kid on each hip. Where you going, old timer? Going down, bless God, take over Egypt. Shee. This guy's screwing Abraham. Abraham. My, what a fine name. That means father of multitudes. How many sons and grandsons and great, 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 great? Ain't got one. Except the sort of an offspring over there, so you don't count. It's a man alive. You kind of nuts. Well, he said, they thought I was nuts when I said my name was Abram. Now they think I'm twice as nuts since it's Abraham. Because Abram meant high father, and your father or nothing. But he called those things which were not. And God who can raise the dead. And God did it. Sure. I said, now, I'm not any of this. That's pretty embarrassing. To some people. You know, I've seen them come out. They won't believe the word. Jesus said, now if you're ashamed of me, then I'll be ashamed of you. Why would he be ashamed of you? Because you are claiming to be his when you won't follow him. Now what does it mean to follow him? John 10. Now this sermon isn't hard if you're following right along on the grounds that you believe and you're part of it. But if you're not, it's pretty rough. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, how in the world do you know it's the right voice? John had a vision, and in this vision he heard a voice from heaven, and he turned to see the voice. That fella right there wanted to know, what is this talking to me anyway? He found out what it was. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And they weren't just in one in the understanding and essentiality, because Jesus had changed his essentiality from a body that was made purely from a spirit form into this physical form. But he said, I am my Father in one, because the Father in me is doing the works he dwelleth within me. Now, so, John 10 and 27 can only be taken in its given context of verses 19 to 26. And it says here, there was a division among them. Because of these things, and many said, he hath a devil, he's mad, why do you listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of him that has a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Ha ha! light giving light. The light was the manifestation of blind eyes being opened, and it pointed to something. What was it pointing to? And it was the Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication. It was winter, cold, hard, old time. Jesus walked in the temple, Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Here's Jesus' answer. I told you, and you didn't believe. So why should I tell you again? The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of whether I'm telling you the truth or not. But you do not believe because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life. What he's saying right here, no matter how much I explain, no matter how much I do, you are not going to get it. So, you get neither Christ nor his word. You've got to have both.
Right. And you turn down the word, you've lost Jesus.
I've told you before, dear sister in Florida, she was nice, but she knew her ministry was to go about correcting preachers. Don't even let a man try to correct me unless you know what you're talking about. I'm not a prophet. You can talk about anything you like, ask questions, sure, but she's going to correct these preachers. And she said, you know, Brother Vail, the trouble is, people always fuss over the word. They get divided. She said, we all just talked about Jesus. I said, hold it, Sister Riley, you're wrong right there. Anybody can make a totem pole of Jesus. The totem pole of Jesus makes the Pope. It makes the Archbishop of Canterbury. It makes the President of the General Assemblies of God. It makes the elders of the other Pentecostals. It elects the Mormon president. But you got to have your own thinking. Now, right, now listen. This context is as stated in paragraph 134. Now, 134 says, now, the condition I speak of just recently came into formula. In the days of Luther, to recognize yourself as a Lutheran or follower of Luther, it almost meant death by the Catholic Church. In the days of Wesley, to know that you had defied the Anglican Church was a penalty of death by the Anglicans. That's true, brother, sister. Protestants killed Protestants. As well as Catholics killed Protestants and Protestants killed Catholics. To announce you're a Methodist in the days of Pentecost was a shame almost to say that you were a Pentecost because what was quickly, you were quickly counted as a holy roller or some tongue seeker or something like that. Now they organized and went right out with the rest. So what they've all done is identified themselves with some organization which gave them a blanket coverage. What about then Hebrews 12, when the day comes, we are about to approach Mount Zion. It's all over on earth here. And remember, the millennium is only 1,000 years of further sanctification. So you're looking New Jerusalem right in the face, and it says there's a voice coming from heaven that you'd better hear. Because that's when everything starts to shake down. And the shaking down starts before the Great Tribulation. It's the shaking down of denominationalism. And the shaking down of creeds and dogmas. It's the shaking out of the bride. So she doesn't have to get purged. She's merely shaken out. Then the whole world goes into chaos. And then at the end of the white throne is dissolution. So therefore, Hebrews 12 is not speaking of white throne and dissolution. It is speaking of the breaking down of the rock made without hands, hitting the feet of clay, and destroying all nations in their continuity from Babylon to this hour. But that's the Bible, I just told you. That's Hebrews 12. Here, Brother Branham illustrates. Jesus said, now, if you're ashamed of me, then I'll be ashamed of you. Why would he be ashamed of you? Because you claim to be his and you will not follow. We discussed that. What if I said, this little boy here is my son? Then he'd turn around and say, who? Me, your son? What do you think I am? It would embarrass me. What's he saying?
He is letting you know there is a voice of identification. The same as a parent would say, this is my child, and the child says, who me? I ain't your child. I belong to this organization. I haven't come out. Now, if a father would be embarrassed over a child denying him, what's God going to think of people that deny him? Then turn it the other way around. God says, this is my child. The child won't have a thing to do with it. Now, and that's the way of so-called Christianity. If you name it a name of a denomination, all right. They accept the fatherhood of a denomination. Now, what's the fatherhood of the bride? Word. Now, who's got the right word when denominations are based upon a division of the same word, which is the Bible, but they all tell it different? But when it comes to accepting the fatherhood of the Word of God, Christ, no, they're embarrassed. Because Christ is the Logos. In other words, He's the Word become flesh. They don't want to say, yes, I have spoken with tongues. Yes, I have seen visions. Yes, I believe in divine healing. Yes, I praise the Lord. I'm free from all organization. Now, that sounds good to the Pentecostals, but they're not free from organization. I'm not bound on any of that. I'm a servant of Christ. Oh, my. That just tears them to pieces. Now, Brother Branham is speaking of himself and of us. He speaks of himself and of us. Now, if William Branham had identified himself with the Pentecostals, he would have had to take the stand, am I oneness or am I Trinity? If he's Trinity, the oneness crucify him. See? If he's a Trinity, the oneness got to get rid of him. He said, I am neither oneness, I am not Trinity. We stand between on our understanding of Godhead, and that branded him. And he became identical to the Apostle Paul, who said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are two people mentioned. One is the Father, one is the Son, and Son has beginnings. You're talking of a God race, generically and spiritually. Genetically. Right down the line. They can't take it. They simply cannot take it. Neither can most people in this message. The other night, now listen, let's watch this. How much time we got? How many minutes? 25? I'm just going to take a few minutes, we're going to quit. The other night, a great speaker came in amongst the full gospel businessmen. Now, here's something right here that I can identify with, and I know you can too. Brother Branham lets the cat out of the bag, and this is something we should learn. May I stop here just a minute to say this? You excuse me, but many times you think, and I do too, and this is my failing, that what we're talking about, the truth of the Bible, doesn't go over amongst the people, but it does. Sometimes they'll rear right up against it, but they really don't mean it. They're trying to find where you're standing. I love that. It's so sweet and so nice, but I don't believe it too much. Only in a very few people, and there are some that qualify, and they're my good buddies, the Roman Catholics, and a few others who don't know anything in the first place. Not critical of the Catholics. I thank God for years all they had was the Latin Mass. I thank God that for all these generations, they said, Holy Trinity, but don't touch it. It's a great ministry. Us priests will take care of it. And they knew nothing either. That's why they said, don't you touch it, because if you did, you'd ask questions. You know, it's just like when, you ever heard this record of Belafonte's? When he said the day came when he went to his father and he asked about man and woman. And his father got that glazed look in his eye and he said, then Belafonte said, then I said, well, tell me about the birds and the bees. And he said, you know, the man pee out and the woman pee out. And he went down to the, and granny flop flop or something. He didn't say one word. And that's the way the priest would answer you. in a stupid little jangle, a jingle of some description, because they haven't got a clue as to the Trinity. It's so mysterious that they forbade their people to even touch it. And Joel Tad, any time he talks to a Catholic and tries to talk about Godhead, the man just bristles and said, no way. No way. If there's truth, I don't want to know it. Probably the ain't truth. So I love them for their ignorance. I wish I'd have been as stupid. Isn't hard at all to teach somebody who knows nothing, but it's very hard to teach somebody who knows something, for a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. As I saw the sign that says, it is very rough on us people. It is very hard to listen to those people. How did you put it? The idea is, it's very hard for us who know everything to listen to those people who think they know everything. How true. Now, here we are. He says, may I stop here? He said, listen, there are people who rear up of what you're saying, and what they're really trying to do is to probe you to find out where you're coming from and where you're going. Now, if only the prophet could read the heart, and therefore the spirit, and that by grace of God, and not on his own, demand. Say, what is this all about? You and I have a very hard job. It's worse than that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Let me read you something here, and I'm going to try to quit with this. Because you're here a long time. There's no worry about going home. There's no snow out there anyway. Here it is. 1 Corinthians 4. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the minister of the mysteries of God. Now Paul states his case. I am the only one given to the Gentiles. I am preeminent. I am the vicar of Christ. I am his messenger. I have the revelation. Listen to me. Well, that's what he's saying. But he says it nicer. He wouldn't be the kind of a bird I am. Moreover, it's required in the steward to be found faithful. I say, I can't change one word of it for you or anybody else. But with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of any man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. Now that sounds strange, doesn't it? It's a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of any man's judgment. Yea, I judge not myself. Now, how in the world could this man stand anybody else's judgment if he couldn't judge himself? Because he can't judge himself. Brother Branham said a prophet cannot be judged. As a teacher, I can be judged. Quoting Brother Branham, he said, I have a little gift of healing, nobody wants it. And that's getting evident more and more every day, and I should be happy. And part of the time, I'm angry, rejected, dejected, then I get hilarious. And I say, whoopee, it's working. They don't want it. Oh, goody. Something's coming to pass. Huh? Well, certainly. I'm a human being. Well, you might not think so, but I might not think you either. let's face it, we're all in one little boat down here. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not thereby justified. Well, I don't know anything about the subject of myself. Let me tell you something. I got it from God, therefore I know. Come on, let's read it. He that judges me is the Lord. Now watch what he said. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, then shall every man have praise to God. Now listen, that's happening right in our hour, and shall happen down the road. Hebrews 4 and 12, discernment. Brother Branham said, I take every spirit in this building, whether five people, whether one, 500, 5,000, 5 million, it wouldn't matter. I take every spirit under my control in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the glory of God, and you couldn't hide if you tried. And it was proven they could not hide. They pulled every trick on him, and they died for it. With horrible diseases. That's why the world's dying right now. Why do you think they got AIDS? They turned down the prophet and went to spiritual fornication, which the ultimate is homosexuality. Which is homosexuality is running the world. Now then, listen to me. The Roman Catholic Church says you priests cannot marry. So they masturbated. They made nunneries so the monks could have monkery. Next door they had convents. And the papers were full of what happened in Montreal a few years ago. They excavated a convent. And there they found thousands of dead bodies of babies. But what was unfurled in Boston? A whole ring of homosexual priests. Now hold it. Who's running the governments? The Pope and the Roman Catholic Church. Who filled the papal choir with incestual bastards? The Pope having his own sister if he wanted her. I know people don't like this kind of preaching. People go away insulted because I preached to them. I wouldn't want my kids to hear that. You're going to hell with your kids, I can tell you that, because you haven't got the guts to bring it out. You don't want it told straight. You want something to hide behind. You ain't going to hide behind. Not when I'm up behind your desk. Get me out there. I don't care. 2 bits out there. 2 bits, I don't care. Here, come and stand beside me. Get your Bibles. I haven't quoted you one thing. It's wrong. The nations are drunk. America's drunk with the wine of her fornication. Excuse to Kennedy, even a Ted Kennedy. Let a woman drown in a car. And they let him off. Meant nothing because he's a Kennedy. A Roman Catholic is what he was. Now Frank Sinatra had his marriage annulled. His dear wife Nancy and his kids, she's made a heart at living with him, and the kids are legitimate. Because he got enough money. The Catholic Church owned red light houses in Paris, and I guess they still own them, and they collect the revenues. The Protestants are no different. They're just such big fools, they don't collect the money. It's true. I was reading. Judge not before the time. For God will bring to light the hidden counsels of men's hearts. Brother Branham is telling us here, though you know where you stand, nobody scares you, you're not embarrassed, because like him you're standing on the same vindication, because remember, the vindication was not given to William Branham for William Branham. It was given for us. William Branham is only one member of the Bride of Christ. He is not 2 members. He is not 3 members. He is not 4 members. He is not half a member. He is 1 member. And there's no great one among us. Except the Holy Ghost, so William Branham was no great one. The greatness of William Branham lay in the humanity of his humility and the humility of his humanity. He knew his place in God and with God. And he exalted the ministry of Jesus Christ. He took no money. He took no women. He took no glory. He died literally despised and rejected. And men came because he was a spectacle. And I stood there at his funeral and I wept with a broken heart.
Even in his death, they couldn't leave him alone. I'm nobody, so it doesn't matter if they feed me to the dogs. But one time I gave my wife orders, when I die, if I do die, nail the coffin shut, no funeral, a graveside prayer, and that's enough. But I figure they should come and see the last remains. I have those who love me and those who hate me. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all, because God knows the heart. God knows why I am here. If I have a purpose ulterior, he knows it. But Brother Branham is warning us here. This message is a tough, tough message. You come out fighting, as it were, knowing that you could be destroyed even by innuendo. Nobody in St. Paris knows anything about us. Only one couple ever came here and they never came back. I knew they wouldn't. A couple have said they believed the message. They left too. Another man came here and he said, well, he said, I want to tell you, Brother Bear, I knew every scripture you're going to quote. The man's a liar. He didn't know, because I didn't know myself sometimes. And we're called a cult with the prettiest church in the area. And I don't care two bits about the church. It's nice, but who cares? Look, I'm not interested in the church. It's a place and that's all. But I'm glad they call us a cult. Really, cult is a very decent word. It's just like the word dog. Dog is a good word. It's a good animal. It's loving, kind, sweet, and generous. But a dog is a male prostitute in the Bible. A dog is a deadbeat. A dog is a lazy, no good bum. Depends how you want to use the word. The word cult in itself is a good word. But the world uses it bad until there's nothing left anymore but bad. So if I'm bad, hallelujah. I've come out from among them, so have you, or you wouldn't be here this morning. So there's a good thing Brother Branham says about this. And he talks about the woman. She was a Christian. And her husband was a drunken, no good bum, but he knew his wife was a Christian. So they began talking one time at a bar. And somebody said, there's no such thing as a Christian. So, well, I know one. Well, who do you know? It's my wife. I'll prove it to you. Come on home. Took him home. He said, fry us some eggs. They pretended they're drunk. Got the eggs Friday. Threw them on the floor and cussed. You know I don't like my eggs like that. Threw them on the floor. They went in the front room and dropped into chairs like snoring drunkenly. They heard the woman outside singing, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No. There's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. This consecrated cross I'll bear till death shall set me free. Then go home. I'll go home and wear a crown. Wear a crown with thee, as the song says. The old drunk said, I tell you, she's a Christian, see? They're only trying to test her. And sometimes the world tries to find you out. Now, let me tell you something, brother, sister. When those people came to Brother Branham to test him, in the sense they wanted some answers, they were not malicious. They believed he was somebody from God. They couldn't take it. But they were honest in their hearts, like preachers I know. Brother Branham blessed them. He helped them. He did what he could. But there were two preachers from the Church of Christ. One preacher from the Church of Christ and his deacon came to a meeting in Windsor, Ontario. And they stood there having contrived to test Brother Branham as Simon the sorcerer. And they came in the line, and Brother Branham said to the Church of Christ man, the preacher, he said, there's nothing wrong with you. But he said, on my prayer card, he said, my prayer card's full of it. Well, he said, sir, I don't even read the prayer cards. They're just to make an order. Your prayer cards are simply numbers. It doesn't matter what's written on them. But perhaps, sir, you got healed by just what you saw. You don't need healing. And then something else was, Brother Banner, forget what it was. And he under his vessel, that's how it's done. He said, what did you say? Ah, he said, there's your friend, your deacon. You sat in your room
your library. It's an oaken table with a green cover on it. And there you conspired to try to fool me. Now all the diseases you said on the card, which I don't know, are on you. And he fell at Brother Branham's feet. He said, take them off. Brother Branham said, I didn't put them on. The man died with his cancer, tuberculosis. Those who fooled with Brother Branham died. Billy Paul one day, the last time Brother Branham was out there in California, Brother Branham had this little toupee made up because every time it got cold, his scalp got cold, and he got a cold. You know that. My wife has a little chill on her back, the tiniest chill. She sneezes, and I'm ready to just take a great big fat tomato, a cucumber, or whatever it is, a turnip, chuck me in her mouth. Try to shut off her sneezing. Man, she can tear the house to be. You talk about a sneeze. On and on and on it goes. I'm putting it on, but the fact is, I'm letting you know. A little teensy weensy breeze can do that. What about Brother Branham with his head all over? Do you know the head will lose more heat than any part of your body? So Billy began acting funny. He took a mop and held his head and dancing around like a beetlewig. I can't get a beetlewig. His dad suddenly wheeled and went to his room. And Billy knew he was displeased. He said, Daddy, I did what I shouldn't have done. He said, Billy, it wasn't that. Teasing is fine. But he said he was displeased. And I didn't know what happened to you next if I stood in your presence any longer. What about needy? Legitimate. Father should help raise the kids. Bill couldn't do it. I'm going to tell you something. Don't ever try to serve God unless your family's on the chopping block. I'll look you all in the eye. You got to get some money in here pretty soon. I'm getting old. Looks like we're going to have to get him out of the congregation. Stan can't come till after Easter. The reason I like Stan so much is because I'm a human being. And in my humanity, I watch my senses exercise to what a pastor should have. And he's got all of those qualities. But I said to Joe this morning, here I am a man. And I see a tree. And there's an apple on it. And I said, I love apples. I need an apple. The doctor said so. An apple a day keeps a doctor away. That's really true in many ways. I want that apple. But there's another man also needs an apple. Now, who's going to get the apple? Stan's like that apple. I would like that apple. And I'd share it with you. In fact, I want the apple for you and not for me. Because for a while I thought I'd like somebody that could be compatible, visit a lot with, forget it. My wife and I have a perfectly good time with each other. We go to town. We mess around. We window shop. Then we buy more groceries than you need to bring into church or give them away. We have a lot of fun. You don't have much fun. I'm more worried about you than you are about yourselves. Stan's a nice apple. What if he's not our apple? Now, human reasoning, everything else says, hey, apples are good. The church needs an apple. Let's get that apple. Apples are good. Apples are for churches. But PA, which is Pastor Apple, maybe it belongs to somebody else's barrel. Now, I want that apple. You understand what I'm saying? I haven't got it, though. Time goes on. No apple. Someplace else. Now, you people got to think. I try to be out of the picture, but you're trying too much to put me in the picture because you love me and you're sorry for me. Quit your loving and your sorry. Take care of yourself. A pastor must be sacrificial. As much as he loves, he cannot put his family above the church. There are those who came here and they thought I might want them instead of all of you. As much as some people, I am more friendly than others. And there's one person here that nobody can ever, ever say against us. Bill Graham, he sat with me, he lived with me, he prayed with me, he suffered with me. Nobody else can say that. But Bill would never make a preacher. He put his family even to one side for me. Mary came along, got up early in the morning, 5 o'clock, 4:30, went off to work. You hear what I'm saying? I want you to get the point. The pastor must not only be called, he's got to have certain qualities. You better start thinking and thinking seriously. I've never told you which way to go. I've never ridden you. I've never said treat your wives in such a way if they don't wear long skirts, boot them out, make them toe the line. I've taught you you cannot save anybody. I've tried to read it all my heart. But it's time to begin being very, very serious. 3 years now, about 3 years, we've had no way. Now, the point is this. You say, well, Brother Vail, anytime you want to go, you go. I just can't do that. He said, well, you got a complex. Yes, I got a complex. Call it what you want. I want to leave in 1 to 2 weeks now, but I got a good excuse to think of something, so I won't go for 1 to 2 weeks. And I won't mention the fact that I'm going to be here preaching. I'm going to be doing it. So I'm like the guy that needed the money, so he robbed a bank. No, he didn't need to rob a bank. He had to go out and work. Right? You see what I'm driving at? Tough work, pastoring. I had to tell you because I didn't want to tell you another time. Just leave it with you now because things are going to have to move a little more swiftly, I do believe, and yet I don't know. But the more serious we are and the more we begin to realize what has gone on and can go on, it means that it's quite possible that somebody must come up out of the congregation like we looked at before. Remember, we never did get very far for this reason. There's no way that you'd ever get me to have a man leave his job and then go back a few weeks later at a cut or a reduction or not a position. I would take every cent I have and give it to that person. You think I'm boasting? Maybe I am a little bit. Put it this way, I'd sure meet him down the road where he wouldn't need. I certainly need myself. You say, why? Because I've been through it. Lord, love you. I love you. Lord, bless you. I can't. That's right. And be dismissed. Appreciate the people that came to visit with us. Always nice to see people. Makes us feel good. Doesn't make us preach any better. But it makes us feel good to have the love of the people, wherever that love comes from. Heavenly Father, we're going to go now. Most of us to sit here and eat with each other, to enjoy each other's company, having enjoyed your presence in your word, knowing, Lord, that you are here. We recognize that. We recognize with the Lord as we prayed before we opened this service, this meeting with the word, that all things are possible with you, which are in the word. And in your word, Lord, we know that you ordain pastors, you ordain evangelists, you ordain teachers. And my day, Lord, as a teacher wandering around the world in places, could be, as it seems, which I don't know for sure, ended. And I'm satisfied it's fruitful the way it goes with tapes and things. Maybe something else should come back. Lord, I'm leaving that in your hands. And you could sure direct me, Father. Because I don't think that I would be so hard of hearing that I would turn aside. In fact, I'm recalling even this day, I recalled what was in my heart I felt was by you. And if that's the way it really is, then I'm open, Lord, to going somewhere, someplace, and doing those things you'd have me to do, because just because home is nice, it doesn't mean that the will of God isn't a million times nicer, which it really is. It's more rewarding. So I want to be in that position, Lord, of kindness and humility and obedience to you. I want to really be that way. So, Lord, here we are this morning. We're knowing that all things are possible because you are here, and you are here. The pillar of fire to lead us into the millennium, that's no doubt about it, been manifested. I can't deny it, Lord. Because whatever came here said that, and that's it. And so that's you telling us, and we appreciate it so much. We may not have the depth of it and the fullness of it, but Lord, I'm going to testify to it until it rings the bell within my soul, until there's nothing left but that in me. I started that way, Lord, and you know it. And I know it. And I know it pays off. Because you said, who would I honor you? And we tried to do it. You'd sure honor them, and I thank you for it. It's wonderful that it works that way. So, Lord, for this church, we pray that it may come into their hearts to know, and to know exceedingly abundantly, not from me, but from you, Lord. And unless from you, then it doesn't matter about me, because I'll still go on having whatever ministry I'm supposed to have. Because unless you take it or take me, Lord, and I know if you take me, then the ministry's gone. If you take the ministry, then I got to be gone. It's just the Spirit that's left, Lord, to move amongst the people, which is the way Brother Branham said, and that's true. So we don't have an axe to grind within ourselves or with each other. But the only axe we have to grind is, Lord, is can we come up against your honing stone and be honed to the place where we can cut a path right down where we belong and have what this church should have. If the prophet said that every church, and I think, Lord, he made it to the extent where he said every church should have all nine gifts. Maybe he said could have all nine gifts. I don't remember. I thought he said every gift could be in every church. Then, Lord, if every gift could be in every church and those nine gifts were expendable, really the age of gifts is over. Then how much more, Lord, would every little corner of your vineyard where a body, a little bit of the body of Christ is, have raised up to them a ministry, Lord, of your ordination, of your calling, of your placing, a true charter. Now this thing, Lord, we commend to you and put into your hands. And we do it with sincerity this morning, believing from this point on that things will begin to develop right, because by your being present, we can put these things out of our mind and let the mind of Christ come in. And this is a great day for that, Lord, as never before. And we thank you for it. And we should thank you for it. And just be open as never before, Lord. And I would trust we are. Now, Lord, we also know, as Brother Branham said, the living word is supposed to be in us, and that's concerned healing. And Brother Branham himself said, healing lies within you, but don't take it too far. But he never said that we would take this too far, that the healing in this message could ever go too far, because he said, take this message for your healing. Now, Lord, as we've taken the message right down the line from the prophet, who is God to us, and fully accepting what Brother Branham said, linking himself to the identity of Moses and Jesus Christ, talking about when you have seen me, you've seen the Father, bringing it right to that. Father, we accept it right down to the very inspired word, and that inspired word this morning is, the message is our healing. And that healing we know, Lord, is a spiritual healing. And we know that John said, I did you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So, Lord, this morning, if we have a true spiritual healing, then, Father, I believe, in fact, we know that we have the physical and those other things in there because, God, I know, Lord, it's absolutely the truth. It works in that order, and I praise your great and holy name for it. Now, Father, help us to cut loose our minds as never before, entirely unencumbered, and believe it and receive it this morning. Coming a day soon, not one sick amongst us. I don't know, Lord, if I'm premature or what, but I have the feeling about Beth everything is all right. And all I can say is, Lord, what that feeling was. I'm not going by any special thing, but Lord, having prayed and know the message is a healing. She's in obedience to her husband in correction, down the way of the word. Then, Lord, we stand in faith on the word of the prophet. The sick amongst us heal. God, may people take healing this morning. I believe you're doing it. Not just this morning, but step by step, moment by moment, even inch by inch, as one day molecule by molecule, atom by atom, there's going to be a complete new body built from the life of the Word, forming that body from the elements that are here, glorified by God. I thank you for this, Lord. Bless our sisters. Bless the brothers. Bless the homes, the children, Lord. May there be a unity, a sweetness, a reverence, a quietness, a joy as never before. Keep us from being judgmental, but keep us preaching the truth day by day. Let us not draw back from reality, but ever press in. Bring reconciliation amongst us to such an extent the love will pour forth as never before. Because, Lord, from this sermon I know I preached exactly the truth. Maybe I didn't preach it quite right from my own spirit, but I knew it lay there. And I know, Father, the prophet said it. He nailed it down. And these people, Lord, are a part of it. So what can we say except we believe this is a part of that glorious bride and the membership of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless her, O God. Bless her with the fatness of the word, the oil of the word, the outpouring of that word, Lord. Bless her, Lord, as you yourself are here, and in you is immortality, resurrection, millennium. The beautiful holy city, all of these things in you, and we apart in coming into it. These things, Lord, we have testified our faith to you in prayer and ask humbly, Lord, that it truly be fulfilled in all of us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.
Take the name of Jesus.